Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast, the first of 2025. So happy new year to you. Happy new year to you, Ben.
Happy new year to you, Trev.
How was Christmas?
Glad to get it out the way. I know that makes me sound...
You were so miserable before Christmas, and you've come out of it with no joy found throughout the Christmas period at all.
It's all been a bit stressful in the build-up to the event. It was a lovely day. Mrs. Ben has picked up some sort of viral bug from I think probably my family when we visited them on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So she's only just feeling better. So Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Well, there's a lot of it going about, Ben. It's the new year. There's always bugs, colds, flu-y things going around. I know a lot of people who have been struck down. And of course, let's start the new year with the fear of a new pandemic because there's a new thing. It's very quietly bubbling away in China. Have you seen this?
Hang on a minute. Nothing bad's ever come from China before, surely.
I can't remember what it's called. Is it HMVP or something? It's one of those things I think we should keep an eye on. As the year progresses.
I think you're close with that name, but I think you've got it ever so slightly wrong.
HGV?
That sounds more like it.
I think that's
a heavy goods vehicle.
Yeah. No, I think it's something like that, but I think we all need to just... I predict by June we'll be in lockdown. And frankly, I can't wait for it. I think it's time we had another lockdown. I think we should have a lockdown every 5 years. We should have another lockdown. I think it's probably good for us. I know a lot of people say, well, it's been bad for people. I enjoyed it very much. Being away
from
people.
You're a natural hermit. It was perfect for you.
It's perfect for me. And I think we all need another one. You know, I think people say, oh, you know, kids suffered not going to school. No, they didn't. They fucking loved it. I can't bear all this stuff about, oh, you know, all the children. The children suffered. No, they didn't. They might have fallen behind a little bit, but come on, people. Shut up.
Well, I've been Googling in the background, and you were correct the first time. I do apologise. It's HMPV.
HMPV.
Which makes it sound like a prison.
Pentonville.
Yeah, His Majesty's Prison Virus. That's when we're all in lockdown again. Like being in prison.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the first Labour lockdown. I do feel that Christmas was pretty good for me. It all went pretty smoothly. You know, everything, there was no major problems in the family. There was no fallouts. Everything went jolly well.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it.
Best present you got?
The best present I got was a new pair of headphones.
Nice.
The ones that sort of sit over your ears, so they don't go inside your ears, which is much more hygienic. Mm. So it looks a bit like a sort of Secret Service agent type hearing listening device.
Okay. So what do they? How do they stay on?
Well, they hook around the back of your ear, a bit like a sort of old fashioned. Well, I want to say not hearing aid, but you get the idea.
So it is like a hearing aid, isn't it? It's like two hearing aids. Have you just been bought hearing aids? But people have told you they're headphones. They know you're going deaf, but they don't want to sort of bring it up in polite company. So, we bought you some lovely headphones, Ben. Perhaps next time with your family, if when they're talking to you, they say, have you put your headphones on, Ben?
I'll bear that in mind. You might be onto something.
There was an old neighbour of my gran's, right, when I was a kid, and she eventually needed hearing aids. And my gran went in to see her one day, and she didn't really understand what the hearing aids were for, because she kept saying to my nan at louder volumes, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? So she didn't understand that it was for her to hear, not for her to be heard.
Oh, bless.
I don't know whether they eventually got it through to her. She was a lovely lady, but absolutely barking mad. She was also the same woman that would say, people had come into the house. They'd come into the house. Look what they've done now, she used to say. Look what they've done. And they would have, I've probably told you this before, they changed all the taps for old ones. They shaved the carpet by the doors. Not, you know, it was just wearing thin through years of use. The best one was they painted the trees green. It was just moss on the trees. But, you know, but I think we're all close to that, aren't we? We're all close to that madness.
Yes, although... You're actually sort of reminding me of what something I did over the Christmas Day period to slightly torment my family into maybe thinking madness was setting in.
Okay, what did you do?
First of all, before I tell you this, are you aware of some of the stories of things arriving in unusual places over the Christmas period.
What do you mean, things arriving in unusual places over the Christmas period?
Well, there's been a news story recently of someone who is let loose in the Highlands of Scotland for lynx cats.
Yes.
And they've caught two of them, and I think they might still be looking for the other two.
No, they've caught all four now, but one has sadly died.
Oh, no.
Yes, because they shouldn't have been released. There's fucking morons releasing them into the wild.
Oh, well, you've slightly put a dampener on my story now.
But this is a comedy. This is a comedy podcast, apparently.
Now, you see, what I think the person who should have done... I mean, obviously don't release wild animals in the Scottish Highlands.
Remember, a lynx is for life, not just for Christmas.
Absolutely. But what I think he should have done was got a can of spray paint, but one that's not
going to say a can of lynx.
No, a can of spray paint.
Yeah.
Something that's non-toxic to the animal and it will just wash straight off.
Like so they put on sheep.
Exactly.
Right.
And what you do is you let loose four lynx, but you label them and you number them. And you go, you number them 1, 2, 3, 5.
Right.
So they'll always think there's one they haven't found yet.
What a waste of resources that would be with people searching for number four. There's an heir. You're the problem with this country, Ben. It's people like you that should be locked up.
And there was another thing which happened in a place in Nottinghamshire where people were just leaving, on the second day of every month, people have been leaving a plate of bananas on a certain street corner and no one knows why.
Okay, well, that's weird. I quite like that, though. I mean, that's sort of one of those weird things where probably eventually someone will come out and say, oh, it was art.
Yeah.
Every month, leave some bananas. Because that's what I mean, there was that thing last year, wasn't there? Someone paid an absolute fortune for a banana that was a piece of art. Like, I can't remember how much he paid for it, but it was thousands, if not a million.
I think
million.
It might have been in the millions, yeah.
And then he ate it.
Perfect.
I mean, obviously, and this artwork, obviously, because a banana only has a certain shelf life, the artwork has had several bananas over the years. Do you think, why didn't you just, if you wanted a banana, why? Like, that's more money than sense, that, isn't it? Like, that's the argument for people not being allowed to have so much money that they can do that thing. That's my socialist argument. But what you have should be capped so that you can't be a fucking idiot.
So this is a lot more, less expensive. But apparently on the second of every month,
right,
between 16 and 20 peeled bananas are left out on the corner of Abbey Road and Windsor Avenue in Beeston in Nottinghamshire.
Right.
And the residents who live there are getting a little bit sick and tired of it. But despite it being on the second of every month, no one's managed to catch who's doing it yet.
Some cameras. I mean, that's easy, surely.
Someone got quite cross about the fact that it was leaving food to rot. And I thought, well, one, probably I imagine foxes will take it.
Foxes will take that, yeah.
It's biodegradable, and they obviously struck a nerve with the banana fiend because the next month he left a fiver under the bananas as well. I don't know what for, maybe just to make his conscience feel a bit easier. I don't know, but... So, yeah, that was just the gist of what I wanted to warm you up to, of things arriving where they shouldn't do.
I mean, what I would say about the bananas is he's taken the banana skins off, so they're less of a comedy slip hazard. But on a serious note, just any banana that goes mushy would be a slip hazard for an elderly pedestrian.
They're on a plate.
Yeah, but, you know, they'd be knocked off the plate if an animal comes and upsets them. I'm just saying, maybe they should be coned.
Police tape around.
If you're going to put bananas out for whatever reason, cone them off.
I think that's probably sensible advice. But this all happened after my own Christmas Day scandal.
Right.
Basically, before December kicked off, end of November, Mrs. Ben treated me to a lovely little advent calendar.
Nice.
Knowing my fondness for ducks, and our shared fondness for ducks, me and Mrs. Ben, she treated me to a duck-themed advent calendar.
Oh, nice.
So on day one, I opened the first door, very excited, to find a small little rubber duck.
Oh, a proper, like, an object, not just
an object.
A picture.
No, not just a picture, a little rubber duck.
I mean, it must have been tiny.
It was. Day two, I open up to find A little rubber duck.
Am I to assume that we've got 24 little rubber ducks?
So by about day 7, when I'm pulling out the 7th rubber
duck. The novelty worn off a little bit by me.
It had. And I said to Mrs. Ben, listen, thank you so much. It's a very sweet present, but I can see where this is going at this point. You twigged it after day 2. It took me till about day 7. And yeah. I said, much as I love it, darling, what the fuck am I going to do with 24 rubber ducks when this is all finished?
I like the fact that after 6 or 7 days, you've turned on her. You're not thinking, oh, it's Christmas. Oh, this is lovely, darling. You haven't lied about it. I like the honesty to some degree, but on the other hand, I feel you might have hurt Mrs. Ben's feelings. She went out of her way to buy you a duck calendar, and what have you done? You've shoved it right back in her beak.
So what we decided to do was, because we didn't want them in our house, so I decided, as a little Christmas Day prank, we would take, we'll keep one each. She kept the little purple duck.
Oh, they were different colours, were they?
Yeah,
didn't give me that bit of information. I thought they were all going to be yellow.
Most of them were. She kept the little purple one, and I kept the little green one, because those are our favourite colours.
And are you using them in the bath?
No, we already have one that's on the bath from a separate purchase. But we decided that we would take the remaining 22 rubber ducks and on Christmas Day scatter them around my parents' house, who had very kindly invited us round for a nice Christmas dinner and a lovely day.
Nice.
And we would sort of hope that over the coming days and weeks, they would slowly find these rubber ducks in obscure places. And the question would be asked, where are these coming from?
They just go, it's Ben, isn't it? It's clearly Ben.
Unfortunately, I thought this was going to be a brilliant idea. And sure enough, on Christmas Day, me and Mrs. Ben set about my parents' house scattering these rubber ducks.
Nice.
What I hadn't accounted for, it turns out, to be my incredibly observant 5-year-old niece.
You were shocked by her, weren't you?
She rumbled me in minutes. Not only did she come and sort of say to Nana, Nana, why are there ducks everywhere? Nana gave her a sort of quizzical look and thought, now, is this just a 5-year-old saying silly things?
Yeah.
And then no, surely enough, she had collected evidence of my crime and started producing all of these ducks, and the pile was getting bigger and bigger. So we obviously hadn't hidden them well enough.
No.
But we were rumbled immediately. It kind of ruined my day a bit.
Oh, what a shame.
My mum approached me, gave me one of her looks and said, well, I wonder, does Uncle Ben know anything about the mysterious ducks?
While this is mildly hilarious to a 5-year-old, this is hugely irritating to your mother.
And apparently, my poker face is shit. Because I told Mrs. Ben, under no circumstances do we admit it's us, okay? Yeah. It's the golden rule. We lie, deny, it's not us, no idea where it's coming from.
Just give name, rank and number. That's it. Nothing more.
And the moment I gave my mum the sort of, huh? What are we talking about? She said, oh, okay, shut up, Ben. So I really spoiled my fun. And we hadn't even got all of them down. I think we only got about 17 down before she started finding them.
What a disaster. An absolute disaster.
If anyone wants to buy a small rubber duck as a little Trevor Ben podcast memento, get in touch. £5 each.
£5 each.
I'll sign them for
a little rubber duck. What you should do is start posting them through the letterboxes of people while you're on the rounds. Just the odd little, you know, the odd, maybe target 2 addresses, and over a period of days or weeks, every now and again, just another little duck.
I like that.
Through the letterbox. Obviously, they're going to twig it's coming from the postman, but you can just say, oh, I don't know, it was obviously was in an envelope and fell out.
Yeah.
Fame ignorance.
I don't fancy losing my job over the rubber duck game, but I had fun nonetheless. And Mrs. Ben did have a pang of guilt at one point and said, what if this works perfectly and they start to question, are they going a bit mad? Like your story of the sweet old deer who thought they're painting the trees and shaving the carpet. And I said, well, that's brilliant. If they start to really doubt their sanity, then the next time we go round, we'll put a handbag in the fridge and see how long it takes them to find it.
But the thing is, they could think it's like some sort of, like, you know, like in The Birds.
You know, it's a really shit Hitchcock film, The Ducks.
Something sinister's going on, and the ducks are slowly taking over. Plastic ducks are slowly taking over. And then they would be entering a world of madness.
Yes. So
delusion.
Yeah, I tried to stick to the lie, rumbled immediately. It took a 5-year-old girl and my mum's knowing eye to ruin my Christmas day.
Okay, so you obviously almost drove your family to madness for Christmas. How about New Year's Eve? Did you see in 2025 in style?
Not really. Funny enough, we weren't invited back round for any sort of New Year's Eve.
Surprised.
So we spend New Year's Eve home alone, which is what I prefer, to be honest. I don't like spending it with big crowds of people who are all pissed and wanting to do Auld Lang Syne. And everyone's ill anyway, and they all want to join hands. And I don't know where you've been, so... I just
and do you know the words to Auld Lang Syne?
I think so.
Well, that's good, because I do know them now. But for many a year when I did used to go out on New Year's Eve, I'd often end up, as you say, linking hands and then having to go... for Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah, I'm just realising I don't know all the words.
You don't know all the words.
Should all acquaintance be...
Forgot.
Forgot and never...
brought to mind.
No, I don't know the words.
I mean, you only need the first verse. If you ever look up the lyrics to Auld Lang Syne, it's a long-winded affair. But you only need the first verse. I think anyone that goes beyond that, not for me.
So we basically just sat at home, a few little sweeties, something nice to drink, and we waited for the big moment. However, when it came to about 10-2, I looked at what to put on, and the choices were abysmal. Did you see what the dross we had to watch the choice was?
Oh, yeah, because I do the same thing. I stay at home. I don't go anywhere for New Year's Eve. I'm quite happy just to see it. I used to, in the past, always put Jules Holland on for New Year's Eve. And I just looked at the lineup and I just thought, no, I can't be bothering with that. And then I looked on the BBC One. Obviously, there was the was it Sophie Ellis-Bextor was doing her thing. Love Sophie Ellis-Bextor, nothing against her, but I just, not for me, not to watch that. And I don't know what else was on. I didn't even bother looking to see what else was on. So
well, I made a note. I made a note of the lineup. Your choices were Jules's annual Hootenanny.
Yes.
You had Sophie Ellis-Bextor's New Year's Eve disco.
Yes.
Or you had the ITV news, including New Year bongs.
Oh, right, yes.
So, I mean, it was like Sophie Ellis-Bextor's choice, of what to watch. It was absolutely terrible. Mrs. Ben, to put it lightly, is not the biggest fan of Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Right.
So we opted, as much as the news was tempting, we opted for the Hootenanny.
Right, okay.
And we had to switch over briefly to Sophie Ellis-Bextor's New Year's Eve disco because I made my first bet of 2025.
Okay.
I bet the house.
Yeah.
I bet my life on the fact the first song to be sang after the New Year's Eve bongs had finished would be, of course, Murder on the Dance Floor.
Yeah, I think I did see it. I think I turned it off as she was singing that and I went to bed. I mean, look, it's a great song, right? It's a great song, but it's had a renaissance, that song, over the last year or two, because it was in... I forget the name of the film. Saltburn is the film, which I've not seen, but it's a film that everyone's talked about. And there's a scene in that where the song's played, so that song's had a bit of a renaissance.
So I was just horrified as to how bad the choices were. And I don't know what to do next year, because it's going to be the same old shit, isn't it?
I think go to bed before it. I mean, I've always stayed up. I've always thought, even if I'm on my own, I'll stay up and see the New Year's Eve. I was tempted to not bother this year. I thought, I might just go to bed. And I thought, no, I will stay up. And the thing is, I stayed up to watch the London fireworks. And I've got to say, right, I think the fireworks look fantastic. But I think the soundtrack's dreadful. I spent probably 5 minutes shouting at the telly because Sadiq Khan seemed to make it all about him. And and I was thinking, like, this isn't about you. And this shouldn't be all about just London, actually. It should be about the UK. And I find that very irritating. I find the music so fucking annoying. So it didn't please me this year as much as it has done in previous years. And I just thought, do you know what? I don't know if I'm going to stay up next year. The only thing is, though, in my area, the fireworks were still going off after 1 o'clock. Now, come on, people. Midnight is the key time on New Year's Eve. That's it. You shouldn't be having to let fireworks off at 1, 1:30 in the morning. Why are you leaving it so late? How can you be late on New Year's Eve, you fucking idiots?
I've got to admit, I didn't enjoy the firework display. And it wasn't because it wasn't good. It was because, very much like you, well, you're one of them, in fact. I have got a couple of friends who have been quite severely hampered by Sadiq Khan's fucking ULEZ scheme.
Yes.
And so whilst all these fireworks are going off, I'm thinking ULEZ, congestion charge, ultra low emissions. Well, that's it. That is ULEZ. But you get the point.
Mm.
All this money that he's clawing in from Londoners with these ridiculous schemes. And I know that it's probably good for the environment, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then how much did this fucking firework display cost?
Well, it's not just about the cost of it. Think of the pollution that's going and the all the smoke and everything in the atmosphere after all those fireworks.
That's another good point.
You know, is he paying some sort of pollution tax on those fireworks? No.
That's a very good point. Can we sort of send a fine to Sadiq Khan for pollution?
I that makes me sound miserable. I'll get the fireworks do look great. I'll give them that. But I don't know. I just find I used to really think they were great. And I just find that I think the soundtrack. The thing is, you can't really watch fireworks without the sound. But I wish there was an option to have it without the music.
Well, press the red button now for
just firework noise. God, I don't need to hear the shitty music and all the. Oh, I just thought it was dreadful. I'm sorry. I'm a real misery guts.
And I am too.
I think that's why I went to bed straight away. Like normally I'd stay up maybe till one. I thought, fuck it, I'm so depressed by it. I'm going to bed.
No, I couldn't enjoy it because I thought Londoners are going to be paying off this fucking firework display until the next bloody one in a year's time with all these various schemes and fines. Oh, it made me sick to my stomach. Happy New Year.
Anyway, how's 2025 shaping up for you so far?
Well, like I say, Mrs. Ben's on the mend. So
yeah, that's good.
That's positive. I somehow managed to swerve this bug, so I'm counting myself lucky. I'm going into it positively. What about yourself?
Yes, so far so good, I think. I go into it as positively as I've ever gone into any year, basically thinking it's probably going to be shit. if it's anything other than shit, then that's a bonus, isn't it? You know?
Yes. I've dropped one of my regular jokes. I say jokes. It's just a stupid thing I usually say around New Year's Eve. But I've stopped saying it because there's a sort of half joke. I would always at some point say, well, it can't be any worse than this year. And unfortunately, I've been proved wrong so many times that it's no longer even remotely funny to say that. So I've just given up saying it.
And remember, in just a matter of days, Donald Trump will be sworn in as president of the United States once again. And God only knows. I mean, he's going to take fucking Greenland. He wants to take the Panama Canal. Yes. I mean, it could really be the start of World War III. And he could be the enemy. I mean, that's the scary thing. It could be the world against the states and the way things are going. I mean, it's a scary thought, isn't it? I did get, can I say, one of my best Christmas presents I got was a Donald Trump toilet brush.
Really? Yeah. Now, didn't I once send you some Donald Trump toilet paper?
Yes, and I got another roll as well as part of my Donald Trump collection for my presents this year.
Now, so, not to get too fecal in conversation.
Let's keep it.
Yeah. Have you used it?
Not yet, but I will do. I'm waiting for the inauguration. I thought that would be a good day to use it.
Yes.
You know what, Ben? When I become... I've been working on the impression over Christmas.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
I've decided that it's a bit Frank Spencer, but with an American accent. He's just so, you know what, Ben? The cat did a whoopsie.
We'll call it Trump Spencer.
I mean, it's going to be fucking awful, isn't it? Talking of Trump and talking of a new year, Ben.
Yes.
Of course, as always, in our first podcast of a new year, we look at our favourite psychics and experiments as predictions for the year ahead.
Now, have you managed to find any? Because when I last spoke to you a few days ago, you were scrabbling to find... I think you were saying to me, Ben, where's the experimenter? Where's the Baba Vanga predictions?
I have to say, they've not been given as much of the limelight this year as they would normally be given. And I've found it a harder thing to find. Normally, you can't move for the experimenter at this time of year, but I did have to search a little bit deeper. But I found them. I found them, so don't you worry about that.
It might be because there's slightly more pressing news at the moment. You know, there's terrible wildfires in LA. Donald Trump and his tag team partner Elon Musk are about to take over the world.
Yeah.
We've got bigger fish to fry than the experimenter.
But I don't know if you remember, last year, apart from the experimenter and Baba Vanga, finger, we also looked at a thing called the Old Moors Almanac. It was the first time we delved into that particular publication.
Yes, I vaguely remember this. You might have to refresh my memory a little bit.
Well, what was interesting was I went back to look at what was predicted last year, what we discussed in our podcast last year, and one of their top predictions was an assassination attempt on Trump.
Well, I mean, got to give it to him.
Well,
I mean, it happened nearly twice.
Nearly twice. So, I mean, I think there's something in these predictions, Ben. I think we've got to take them more seriously than we have done up till now.
Okay. Were there any other ones that didn't come true? Or
well, they did predict the end of cash. Well, interestingly enough, I think cash use is on the rise a little bit, if anything, at the moment.
Okay.
And the end of roads was also predicted by the Old Moors Almanac last year.
Roads the place or roads the concrete roads, driving space?
Roads the conduit for vehicles. And I mean, I don't know about you, Ben. I don't know what it's like in East Grinstead. But what I'll tell you is in the Croydon area, the number of roads, I think, and now correct me if I'm wrong, are pretty much the same as they were this time last year. I don't think there are any fewer roads than there were in January 2024.
Well, I mean, we do get lots of road closures for various roadworks around where I live. It seems like an unfair amount of road closures, but I don't think that's... they always reopen. It's not... we're not abandoning the roads.
So here are the predictions for the Old Moors Almanac for 2025.
Okay, let's get our teeth into this one.
There's going to be an assassination attempt.
Oh, God, again?
Yeah, but on Elon Musk this time.
Oh.
I mean, he is poking his nose in a lot of places at the moment, isn't he? You can see him ruffling a lot of feathers.
Well, I mean, we don't wish assassination on anyone.
No.
However, maybe he needs to, you know, be a bit more careful.
I think he needs to become a bit less Bond villain.
Yes.
Because that's what he's turning into. He's turning into this multimillionaire that clearly wants to rule the world. He's poking his nose into our politics now. And it's just, I just sort of feel like, fuck off, Elon Musk. His father, who, I don't know why he's getting involved, but Elon Musk's father apparently said that Tommy Robinson, because, you know, I think Elon Musk had tweeted something about that Tommy Robinson should be released.
Oh, my
prison.
God. He is doubling down.
Elon Musk's dad says Tommy Robinson is a modern-day Nelson Mandela who will become British Prime Minister. I don't think that's going to happen. If that happens, Ben, I'm leaving the country.
Well, did you happen to see this? Speaking of supervillains, did you see that Tommy Robinson might have a challenger for his British Prime Ministerial run? Because Andrew Tate... in recent days, threw his hat into the ring.
Oh, you see, he started a political party, hasn't he?
Yes, it's called the Bruv Party.
The Bruv Party.
Yeah, Bruv. Bruv.
I mean, grow up, man. Grow up.
The lovely thing about it was he put out a Twitter poll, which obviously his fans voted in his favour that yes, he should in fact run for Prime Minister.
Of course his fans would say that, yeah.
But in the tweet, he managed to spell the word Britain wrong.
Right, brilliant. Yeah.
Britain.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's who we want for Prime Minister.
Well, I mean, let's hope he'll be in prison before too long.
Although, I mean, if you had to pick one, Andrew Tate or Tommy Robinson for Prime Minister.
Again, even if we get to the point where that's an option, I think Sophie I would have left the country by that point. I mean, that would, the country would be in such a state. Can you imagine that?
Oh, was there any comparison or explanation as to why Tommy Robinson should be considered a modern day Nelson Mandela, or was it just something that flew out of his mouth with no explanation?
Well, I think it's, again, this is Elon Musk's dad. Let's make it clear. This is Errol Musk. I didn't know his first name, Errol Musk. He says that he's been locked up for doing more. I mean, this phrase means nothing. He's been locked up for doing more or less than nothing. More or less than nothing. I mean, that sentence doesn't mean anything. It means he's either done a lot of things that he's worthy of being locked up for, or he's done nothing. It's one or the other, isn't it? He's doing more or less nothing.
And you can't do less than nothing, can you?
No. And likened his treatment of that of Nelson Mandela, who, of course, spent 27 years in prison before the collapse of apartheid. I mean, I don't think he'd go to prison for doing more or less nothing. I think he went to prison for repeating false allegations about a Syrian refugee. So, you know, it's nonsense.
Back to the almanac before we get ourselves in legal difficulties.
Robots in our houses. Well, I mean, that's almost already there, isn't it? With you get the robot. Some people have got robot vacuum cleaners. I haven't, but, you know, some people do. You could say that an Alexa is a robot in the house. Yeah. They're already there.
I pay monthly for Graham Parker. What do we call him? Graham Peter Turner, that's it.
Graham Peter Turner, yeah.
Yeah, I pay monthly for him to reside in my phone. So he's like a sort of lodger. An AI robot lodger that somehow I'm paying for. He should be paying me, shouldn't he?
A change of pope. I mean, the guy's about 89.
Yes, I mean, it's...
He's not in the best of health. I don't think that's, you know... You don't need to be a psychic to put that out there as an option.
No, hang on. I don't mind trashing certain people, but let's leave off the pope, shall we?
Why don't you want to trash... I'm not trashing the pope.
No, I've said we've already trashed certain individuals who have been much more worthy of a bit of a kicking, but the pope, I don't think, is on that list.
There's going to be a baby for Taylor Swift.
We'll see.
Well, that's going to be massive news. If Taylor Swift has a baby, can you imagine the coverage that's going to get? I fear for her and the baby because they're not going to be left alone, are they?
No.
Press intrusion.
Although I imagine she can pay for very good security and people to get rid of paparazzi and stuff.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to stop it. But so I hope if she does have a baby that it's the best it can be. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's a lovely thing to say, Trev.
Hmm.
Oh, this is going to get me cancelled by the Swifties. It's not her fault. It's definitely my fault. But I don't get, having listened to her music, I don't quite understand how she's reached quite the levels of success that she has. But that's just my own taste.
Yeah.
And I'm probably wrong.
Yeah. So. I don't think you're the target audience in fairness.
No.
For
because
Taylor
I'm going to be assassinated now faster than Elon Musk.
Because you're now reaching your mid to late 30s, right?
I'm 36.
So from a Swifties point of view, most Swifties are teens, 20-year-olds. You're an old... Do you know what I mean?
I'm an old duffer. Well, how old are you?
Oh, well, I'm well past it. I mean, you know, I could never... which is why I say it's not necessarily my cup of tea musically. I mean, these days, I'd rather listen to a bit of classical music than a bit of pop music, if anything. I can't... It's too noisy for me. Too noisy. I've got to the point where I genuinely say I can't hear what they're singing.
I caught myself saying that the other day. Nothing to do with Taylor Swift, but that my lovely wife, Mrs. Ben, put on some sort of brilliant new artist who I'd never heard of called Ren. He's sort of like, what's the best way to describe him? It's like Eminem meets Shakespeare. It's kind of incredible to watch.
Right.
But there was one verse in it. I was leaning in like an old man and she was looking at me saying, what's the matter with you? And I said, I genuinely don't understand a word he just said.
Yeah, yeah.
But the rest of it's clear. It's just this one particular verse where he got a little bit too quick for my slow acting brain.
I'm also getting to an age, and I don't think it's just an age thing. I feel it's a change in delivery for people on the television. But sometimes an actual, say, a line... I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying. I was watching a film last night and I had to rewind it three times and eventually put the subtitles on because I couldn't get the words that she was saying. And it's because they do this sort of quiet, whispery delivery. Mm. So speak up, people. Speak up a little bit.
I would mock you for that, but only last night me and Mrs. Ben had to rewind what we were watching because we both didn't catch what was
said.
There
you go. Yeah.
And needed to rehear it. although I do believe either I'm aging or we're aging and getting a bit deafer as we age.
Pardon?
Or it's become a bit of a trope, especially in things that you watch, detective dramas, gritty things, where whispering and quietly is par for the course, where they get quieter and quieter and it's harder and harder to understand. And
there's been lots of complaints about it over the last few years.
From you.
No, it's genuinely has been a thing that the actors have got more whispery and quiet, and you just think, look, I know you're not on a stage when you're in a film set, presumably. It's a different thing. But, you know, there must still be a need to enunciate. You can be heard at the back of the auditorium. Please.
Yes. That's what you want, more screaming in our gritty radio dramas, please.
Yes.
Or TV shows.
Just, you know, speak normally. Speak like normal people. That's all I'm asking.
Does right. I understand, by the way, I'm not going to drag this out, but I understand why it happens. But does it ever annoy you, and all TV shows are guilty of this, not just detective shows, but how no one ends a conversation with goodbye on the phone anymore?
Oh, I know. Oh,
they just finish a sentence and hang up.
And hang up, I know.
I think, how rude. I understand for time reasons they can't have a big lovey-dovey goodbye at the end of every phone call.
Yeah. They don't always say hello either.
No.
You know, it's always very to the point. And why is it? I mean, I'm a fan of this because I don't ever have my phone unless I'm expecting a really important phone call. My phone is always on silent because I can see generally if it lights up when people phone, and if I'm out of the room, I'll phone you back, right? Okay. But if you notice that on TV shows, I would say 9 out of 10 phones are only ever on vibrate.
Yes, you're right.
They never have a ringtone. Now, I don't know whether that's because there's some sort of copyright on ringtones that they can't use them, but that strikes me as a weird thing that they're always only on vibrate.
So you said there's been an uptick in complaints about the whispering.
Yeah, over the last couple of years, it has been a thing that a lot of people have talked about. You know, it's people are finding it more and more difficult. But I think it's just something we've just got to learn to live with. It's the way actors do it now.
How did we get here from Taylor Swift's baby? Taylor Swift's fictional baby.
It's the way actors talk now. And if you didn't hear that, it's your fault, isn't it? It's your fault for having bad hearing. Right.
Back to the almanac.
The throne will go to Prince William. I mean, that Ooh. They're not basically saying the king is going to die.
No, he could abdicate.
But they're
he
saying won't. The throne will go to Prince William.
He's only just got his hands on the steering wheel. He's not going to give it up this quickly.
No, he's never going to abdicate.
I'm going to flat out disagree with that prediction.
Right, well, let's move on, shall we? Let's move on to our old favourite, Baba Vanga.
Baba Vanga, who is an ancient mystic. I can't quite remember from where.
Bulgarian.
And
she's obviously got a lot of things right last year. Let's go through what she predicted last year, some of which were right. You know, she said there'd be new treatments for Alzheimer's and cancer. Well, there has been some breakthroughs on both of those fronts. Obviously, we're not at a point where they can be called cures, and a lot of them are still in the very early stages of development, but there were breakthroughs.
There were breakthroughs. I think there was some controversy that the Alzheimer's medication wouldn't be on the NHS yet for some reason. But you're right. Technically, there have been breakthroughs for those problems. So yes, that is good news, I suppose.
She also said there'd be breakthroughs in quantum computing. I couldn't tell you if there has or hasn't been.
No, I couldn't either.
I wouldn't know. Let's say there has been, because I don't know what it is.
It sounds difficult. Let's just imagine some boffin has made some advancement over the last 365 days.
She said there'd be the assassination of Putin. Well,
nope.
That didn't happen, did it? Worsening climate with terrible events worldwide. Well, I think, you know, that's happening every year, isn't it?
Yes, again, it's a bit of an open goal prediction, that one.
Also, cyber attacks will plunge the world into chaos. But there were some, weren't there? There were some cyber attacks. There'd be more terror attacks. Well, yes.
My Nectar card went down, didn't it? It was a cyber attack.
So shall we see what Baba Vanga's got in store for 2025?
Absolutely.
War in Europe. Well, war is happening in Europe anyway. I hope she's
does that
really
count?
Spread.
No, I was going to say, does that count if there was already an ongoing war? Do we need a new war? Not that I want one, I'll just be clear on that.
Yeah.
Do we need a new war for that to be a valid prediction? Or does the fact there's already one happening tick that box immediately day one?
I don't know. Well, let's hope that that's all there is. And let's hope that there isn't a war in Europe and the one that is taking place comes to an end. I'd rather she'd predicted that than there'd be another war in Europe. Let's just say
she's all doom and gloom.
She is. So there's never any positivity about her, is she? It's always, oh, there's going to be a war, terror attacks, earthquakes. Fucking hell, lighten the mood a little bit, love.
So I would like to get some, I think we need a qualifier there. Does that count as there's already one going on, or do we need a new war to kick off? Not that we want one, for that prediction to be correct.
I think she's already ticked a box. I think job done.
Okay.
Prediction
fine.
Done. Well done, Baba. Aliens are going to make contact during a major sporting event.
I wonder which sporting event.
Well, can you guess which one it might be?
Well, there's obviously no World Cup this year.
No.
So I would say the biggest. I mean, she just said a big one, so that doesn't mean it has to be the biggest, but I would argue the biggest would be the Super Bowl.
That's it. Apparently, during the halftime show,
really?
They're going to make aliens will make contact during the... I mean, good that they'll leave it to halftime. You wouldn't want them interrupting the match, would you? That'd be really annoying. But if they're going to interrupt, I don't know, Janet Jackson or Usher or whoever's before Justin Bieber, you wouldn't mind them being interrupted for 5 minutes to have alien contact, would you?
Absolutely not. I've just looked it up, and it says that the Super Bowl 2025 halftime show will be Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar.
Now, I'm half wondering if, as he is the halftime performance, is Kendrick Lamar, and this is just for entertainment purposes, this is not an accusation, I wonder if he's an alien, and during his halftime performance will rip his own fleshy skin off of his face to reveal the fact that he is in fact the alien.
Scaly, lizardy reality.
Yes. Now, Kendrick, if you're listening, that was only a joke, mate. Don't sue us. Okay? I mean,
if only we had David Icke on hand, he could tell us that's true. But anyway, just look out when the Super Bowl comes. And finally, human telepathy will become a reality.
No, it won't.
She says it will be.
Okay. Did she just finish talking at that point?
She says, scientists will discover a way to harness brain waves for direct communication. So imagine a world where thoughts flow effortlessly between two people and no need for phones. You wouldn't have to text someone. I could just think, if I'm thinking of you, Ben, if I've got something I need to tell you, rather than get WhatsApp out, type your message or phone you, just think it and you pick it up. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? I could be in your head all day, Ben.
Well, I can see it backfiring, because imagine when you almost, you know, bum dial someone. What was the equivalent of doing that telepathically? So I could think, you know, oh, Trevor's supposed to call me today. Where is that stupid bastard?
Yeah, and
then suddenly I've hit send. Oh. And then you get in your head me calling you a stupid bastard.
I know. I think it would be a good thing, but I think there would have to be a way of turning it off. I think it would be awful if telepathy was a constant thing. And how much distance do you need? Could I communicate with someone on the other side of the world telepathically?
I think you'd have to. You'd need to somehow connect to a wireless hotspot, I think. But yeah, once you've got connection, you can do it globally, sure.
Brilliant. Okay, well, let's Baba Vanga's predictions. Obviously, we'll see how they pan out over the next 12 months.
And do we have anything at all from the Asparamancer?
Of course we do. Of course we do. So here's what she said for 2024. Let's see what she got right and wrong last year. She said there'd be a female US president.
Close but no cigar.
Sadly, that didn't pan out. She said there'd be big regime changes throughout the world on a huge scale. Well, I mean, you can say that there was a lot of leadership changes around the world, but you could probably say that every year, right?
Well, were there big ones?
I think
Trump,
Assad,
Biden to Trump will be a big one, but that's this year.
Yeah, but I think Assad fleeing Syria was probably quite a big change. You know, there were probably others. We had one in this country, didn't we? We had a big change.
Yes, yeah, fair enough. Okay, we'll give it that one.
Members of the royal family will get divorced. Well, I don't think there were any divorces in the royal family. Certainly not at the high end. Great Britain won't do very well at the Olympics, she said. Well, actually, we did very well. We took home 65 medals.
It's very respectable.
So, you know, I don't think she did very well there. And she said a bunch of rich TV personalities will lose their jobs. I mean, I suppose there were a few scandals that hit, a few cancelled people. Gary Lineker, I predicted last year that Gary Lineker would leave Match of the Day. And although it didn't happen in 2024, he did announce that he was leaving. So I do feel that my psychic powers are beginning to shine through.
Yes, they're hazy, but you were on the right lines.
So let's see what she's got in store for 2025.
Go on then.
More civil unrest throughout Europe and the Middle East. Well done, love. I mean, I don't think that's a very deal. I don't think I need asparagus to tell you that. Political resignations will be off the scale worldwide. Well,
okay.
So who's going to go? Who's going to go? Let's name names. Who's going to go? Political resignations.
Oh, dear. That is a tricky one. I mean, you'd hope Donald Trump, although you can't see it coming, can you?
Although, maybe we should jump to her next prediction. Trump will have a major health scare.
I don't think that's a revelation, considering his
age already... condition.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Actually, I'll tell you what. I'll give you... Because technically, Elon Musk has been given a high-power government position.
Yes,
hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
I think it's a matter of probably weeks, if not days, or possibly even hours, before him and Donald Trump have a major temper tantrum with each other, a clash of egos, and he'll quit.
Okay, so Elon Musk is going to go.
That's where my money's on. Okay. Elon Musk will quit his job because of an ego clash with Trump.
I don't think Kemi Badenoch's going to last as leader of the Conservatives.
Really?
Nah, I don't think she'll last long.
Any reason?
I just don't think she's going to be popular within the Conservatives. Although she ticks a lot of their right-wing boxes, I just don't think she's going to bring them together. So I don't think she's going to last.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's where our money's on.
Showbiz personalities will again make the headlines for all the wrong reasons. Arrests will shock the public.
I don't think it's that brave of a prediction that some celebrity will do something scandalous and get nicked. But yeah, I'll go with that. It's probable. Yeah.
And I don't think we should make predictions. I don't think we should name people who we feel will be arrested. I know in my head who I think those people are, but I'm not going to say them out loud.
No, we have been through vigorous legal training. We still step out of line sometimes, but we know where the line is.
The Lionesses will roar once more. Well, of course, there is the... I think it's the Euros, isn't it? Yes, I think it's the Ladies' Euros this year. So the Lionesses will win.
Hopefully so.
Sadly, more royal deaths.
Oh, every year predicting this.
I mean, should we put money on...
No.
I'm going to say the Duke of Kent... No, because he's getting on a bit. He looks a bit more frail these days. I think the Duke of Kent might go this year.
I'm not going to play. I think it's bad form.
And the final one that I'm going to give you from our Asparamancer is the Great British Asparagus Festival will go from strength to strength. Well, there we are. That's it for our first Trev and Ben podcast of 2025. Before we go, as always, some things for you to watch or listen to over the next few weeks, or as the year progresses, you can find them in your own time.
I would like to give you a recommendation of my own.
Yes.
It's on Paramount Plus, which I'm aware not everyone will have.
You don't sound like you're going to... Like this is supposed to be a recommendation.
Because I know I'm going to get chewed out for this. Mm. Dexter Original Sin.
Oh, no, hang on. This is the programme that about, I don't know, 2-3 months ago, you were saying, I'm never going to watch it. I'm so annoyed with the way they finished Dexter. I'm not going back to it. Dreadful. No way. Never. And now, you say, it's in the recommendation spot.
It is. When you're in love, you do things for those people you love. And Mrs. Ben... loves this show, was very excited and wanted me to watch it with her, so I bit
this is the
my
same
tongue.
One who bought you a lot of ducks, remember?
I bit my tongue, agreed to watch it, and it has been surprisingly good. The only two issues with it I have were I saw there was a 7-day trial period of Paramount Plus where you can get it for free, so knowing that we'd binge it, I pounced on this,
yeah,
only to find that they're releasing it weekly instead of dropping it all at once. So now I'm lumbered with paying for Paramount Plus for the next few months.
Fell for it. That's what they hope for.
And the other problem I pointed out to Mrs. Ben before we started watching this was that, well, the fact that this is a prequel and we know how the other series have gone means that any time the character of young Dexter gets into any kind of jam, we know nothing bad's going to happen to him. He's going to get out of it because... Well, obviously. But at that point, I was told to shut up and just watch it. But it is surprisingly good. The actors are fantastic, and they've managed to mimic the original cast brilliantly. I don't really see if it'll go on past one series. I won't give any spoilers away, but just the way the story is going, I think this kind of has to be a one-and-done thing. But,
okay.
It's good. Maybe wait for it all to finish before you leap onto Paramount Plus for a week's free trial. Binge it, delete your Paramount Plus so you don't have to pay for it, and don't be a mug like me. But it's worth a watch.
Okay, all right. Well, as I've never seen any of the Dexter things, I'd probably... might be worth starting with that then if it's the prequel. Maybe I need to watch them, if I ever do get to them, watch them in the order that they're supposed to be watched in.
It's entirely up to you.
Oh.
You could do.
Thanks for the free choice.
Although I have now... You're welcome. I have now slightly spoiled that there'll be nothing bad happening to Dexter in Original Sin.
But then I'd sort of know that. I'd know that by the fact there was Dexter, you know. I'm not going into this blind, am I? I know there's going to be...
More.
You know, more.
What have you got?
I've got a series that's on Netflix at the moment called Missing You. It's only 5 episodes. It's a drama. It's a detective drama, of course, because I like those sorts of things. I think it's based on a novel. So it's a detective whose world unravels when she finds her ex-partner on a dating app that then leads her to reopen the unsolved mystery surrounding her father's murder.
And can you hear it okay, or are they all whispering?
Oh, well, that was the thing I had to put the subtitles on briefly when I was watching that the other night. But I did binge them all in one night. All 5 episodes, I did them all in one go. So it kept me hooked.
So that's really Missing You on Netflix.
On Netflix. I'm also going to recommend a film. It's on Sky Cinema at the moment. I'm imagining it's available in other places, called The Holdovers. Now, I must admit, I'd seen this film and thought, it's got Paul Giamatti in it, who I always like as an actor. Do you know Paul Giamatti?
I do know who Paul Giamatti is.
Rarely in a bad film. Right?
No.
But I read the synopsis of the movie, and I must admit, to me, it had Breakfast Club feels about it, a classic 80s movie, which I don't really like. I've been told to watch that film by several people, and I eventually watched it, and I thought, all right, it's not one for me, not one of those 80s movies that stands the test of time. But, you know, maybe had I been a bit older in the 80s, it might have meant more to me. So I'd avoided this film. And then over Christmas, my uncle said to me, have you seen The Holdovers? And I said, oh, no, I've sort of been missing it. He said, no, watch it. Oh, it's fantastic, Ben. It is such a good movie.
Okay, I'll have to look it up.
It's funny, it's moving. So Paul Giamatti plays a sort of curmudgeon-y old teacher at a prep school, and he has to remain on campus during the Christmas break to babysit a handful of students. But it's really about his relationship with one of those students. And I won't tell you too much more, but brilliant film. Really well worth watching.
Excellent.
Can I just throw one in for Cautionary Corner?
Absolutely. We welcome in the new year to Cautionary Corner. What's it going to be?
Let's throw two things in here. Both of them very old films. So, you know, I'm very late to the party on these, but I'm just going to save people's time if they've never seen these movies.
Go on.
I told you I was going to watch Jingle All the Way over Christmas because that was one of those Christmas classics that I'd never seen.
Oh,
right?
The Arnie film. Now, I have very fond memories of this, but I'm aware that I watched it about 25 years ago.
I've never seen it, and it has become a Christmas classic in many people's eyes. What a pile of shit. I mean, it is absolutely dreadful.
Now, this is the one where he's got to get his son...
The
Turbo Man?
Yeah, Turbo Man.
How's that for memory? Yeah.
And then he ends up dressing up as Turbo Man. But it's not funny at all. The only shining quality is the guy who plays the neighbour. He's very good. And then I read his tragic life story. And you think, oh God, that didn't end well for that actor. But anyway.
This is a bleak ending to the start of the new year.
But anyway, next Christmas, if you think, oh, I've never seen Jingle All the Way, don't bother. Go back to Home Alone. Enjoy that. And the other one I'm going to throw in was over Christmas, Armageddon was on. Never seen it, right? It's got Bruce Willis in. Sort of think, oh, it's going to be a good action movie. Oh my God. I mean, that must be one of the worst films ever made.
The premise alone is absurd.
Yes.
We're going to send up a team of essentially builders.
Miners, yeah.
Not astronauts.
Miners. And you're going to give Bruce Willis, this head of the miners, sort of complete control over this operation. And then the science doesn't make sense at all.
No, I could, it's preposterous.
Sort of overlook that. And I was so angry that I got online. I was like, is Armageddon the shittiest film ever? And what came back was a lot of people affirming that, but saying it's one of those films that's so shit it's good. And I would say it's just shit.
And did you tear up a little bit when Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith kicks
no,
in?
No, because by that point I was so fucking furious that I'd sat through this bullshit. I know it's about 30 years old, that film, and it's old news. But if you've never seen it and it pops up on telly sometimes, you think, oh, I've never seen that. Go to bed. Do something else. Poke your eyes out with a hot poker. Anything but watch that piece of shit. So there we are. That's it. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. Trev and Ben on X. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.